This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God. I'm reading one verse of Scripture out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. I will read verse 17. That is not right. Is that what I gave you? I just don't think that's right. Tell you what, I'm going to quote it to you and you find it, because I don't have a clue where it is, but it's in the Bible because I read it this morning. So I gave you the wrong scripture. I got the wrong scripture written here. There is a passage of scripture that says, "Those that seek me early shall find me." And if somebody finds that, let Chris know and he can. Proverbs 8:17. Thank you. Proverbs 8:17. This is what I'm going to focus on. Those that seek me early shall find me. And my subject is just that. Seek me early. God bless you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I apologize. A little bit. I have, I don't think, ever been in the place where I am now. If it were possible to calculate, it would surprise us how much of our daily life is spent establishing priorities, determining what is the best thing to do, given the choices that are available to me. Do I want Mexican food, Chinese food, Piccadilly, Hey Man? Whatever. Determining what, given the circumstances, do I choose? Do I wear a striped tie or a paisley tie or a dotted tie? Do I drink one pot of coffee or two pots of coffee before I go to work in the morning? Priorities. If you were doing postgraduate work in prioritizing, the only textbook that you would need would be the 107 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Near the center of his sermon, Jesus made a statement that rearranged the desirable things of life in a startling new order. I think that There is no sentence which so distinctly expresses the mind of Jesus regarding the rules of life than what we read in the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at that verse of scripture. There are three key words. I have them circled. First, all shall. That particular verse is a pivotal point for Jesus' entire message as he sat on the hillside that day. The devil does not want me to preach that. I sense that the devil is a little nervous right now, which is a good thing. Our text says in Proverbs 8 and 17, I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall find me. I can't prove from the scripture that this is referring to a specific time of the day. It could be. There are numerous examples that are given us in the scripture of people who rose early in the morning to meet the Lord. I love to pray early in the morning. I love to wake up praying. It's just better for me. I can't do my devotion between 11 and 12 at night. I do have devotion between 11 and 12 at night, but that's after I've already gone to bed, gone to sleep, and awakened and can't go back to sleep. And then I say, well, there's no need laying here. I'll just go in the living room, and I have a Bible and a pad of paper there all the time. I like the early morning for me. When he said, those that seek me early shall find me, I really don't think that primarily he's talking about a specific time of day. Psalm 63 and verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Perhaps the primary thought and the significant idea behind these verses of Scripture is not referring to dawn or before daybreak, but seek me early in your dilemma. Seek me before you have exhausted every other recourse. Rather than make me your last resort, make me your first resort. Let your first response to trouble be, seek me early. Early in the battle, early in the dilemma, early in the trial, early in the sickness. And a good time to do that, of course, is early in the day. But he said, don't exhaust yourself on every other desire before you look my way. He was saying, let your initial response be to seek me before all other options have failed. Ecclesiastes 7 and 29 says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. I have put into man what he needs to seek me. I have properly invested in mankind the tools that he will need to seek my face, to hunger after me. I have given him what is necessary to live a life that is spent reaching for me." But he said, man has not necessarily used all of those tools, but they have sought out many inventions. Seek him early. The song said, "The more I seek you, the more I find you." Now that doesn't take rocket science. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. The more I seek you, the more I find you. And so that's why I'm preaching to you, seek him early. Early in the pain, early in the disappointment, early in the hurt, early in the problem, early in the thing that tries to tear you down. Seek him early. Give him the first shot at deliverance. You say, well, we have all kinds of excuses we try to offer, and all of us do, as to why perhaps we're not healed when we seek God. And I've had folks say, well, it must not be the will of God for me to be healed. If you believe that, then you should not go to the doctor, because you might be thwarting God. Because if you say that it's not the will of God for me to be healed, that if that's your explanation why you haven't been, then if you go to the doctor and you take medicine, you're working against the will of God, you know. Have you ever thought about that? So I don't think that's a good answer. I don't think that's the best approach. God arranges things in our life to give us an opportunity as to what we will do first. And that is why near the center of the Sermon on the Mount, he had discussed a lot of other things, and then he came out, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5 says, "And he," meaning Uzziah, "sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." As long as he sought the Lord. That means that seeking the Lord is not an initial response. It's not a one-time response. It's not the action of one day. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I had yesterday one of the most moving experiences of my life. I know about conferences, camp meetings, youth rallies, fellowship meetings, Sunday school conventions. Brother Stevens mentioned he was raised going to church. My folks would make calls and try to find a place where they were having a special service so we could go. We vacationed at General Conference and at camp meeting and at youth camp. And so I'll put my church time up against yours. You would have to get up early and ride a strong horse to have gone to church more than I have in my life. We did church. Every kind of church imaginable. But yesterday, not a conference, not a camp meeting, but yesterday, something burst into flame in me yesterday that perhaps I have sensed, perhaps I have felt. I don't remember everything that I have experienced in God. I just know it's all been good. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about James Leroy Kilgore. Put that photo up, Mike. Brother Kilgore was born into poverty in the year of 1926. His parents were itinerant preachers and church builders. I mentioned Wednesday night, I believe it was Wednesday night, how that they went to Friendship, Arkansas, tried to start a church. There was a sign at the entrance into the town that said, "No holy rollers allowed." Some of you don't even know what a holy roller is. I hope you learn before the rapture. And his brother, R.W., was beaten. I think his name was R.W. He came home from school beat up because of who he was. His dad had a big, long, black, old touring car, and it had scriptures written all over the outside of it, and that's where they traveled and ate a lot and slept a lot. Brother Kilgore did not sleep in a bed for the first time until he was 12 years old. And his parents built churches in Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas. You don't travel up in that country without finding a church that was influenced by C.P. Kilgore. And that's the way he was raised. One time, and this was told yesterday, one time his dad told them, "We don't have anything to eat today, but we're going to preach at such and such a place tonight, and we possibly we could get an offering. And if we did, we'll get something to eat." And they went and preached that night. The pastor did not have any money to give them, but he did give them a basket of peaches. And it was said that Brother Kilgore was so excited, he couldn't hardly wait till church was over because they were going to get to eat peaches. That was what they had. This man was one of the great influences in my early years of ministry. He had a hole in his heart when he was young, and when he was, I think, 17 years old, he was under 5 feet tall, weighed 90-something pounds. He would have his brothers and sisters stretch him. One of them get his arms and one get on his feet and stretch him to try to help him to grow. Because he was so, if you see pictures of him when he was young, he's just little and thin. But they determined, they was able to go to a doctor that determined that he had a hole in his heart. And so they immediately began to pray about that, and God healed him. And he grew 7 inches in 6 months. And he went from 90-something pounds to 145 or 50 pounds in 6 months. That's what you call a growth spurt. He had quite a heart. Brother Tenney told us yesterday that his heart beat for 30 minutes after he had no pulse. Brother Tenney made this statement. James Kilgore was just all heart. He was passionate for God. He was my mother's pastor for 13 years. And when he was with us a couple of years ago, I told you when I introduced him that as long as Brother Kilgore was alive, I could never be more than the second greatest preacher in the world in my mother's eyes. She loved me and thought I was just wonderful, but I was never going to be first as long as Brother Kilgore was alive. And yesterday his grandsons carried his altar on their shoulders and brought it front down front and placed it in front of the casket. His son, Jim, who pastors the church now, was talking about how he was raised in poverty, and Jim said he died poor. Said he had no retirement. There's no money in the bank. Nothing. He just gave it away. Just. That was his whole life. His whole life. He built an orphanage in the Philippines called the Ima School for Children. Ima was his wife who passed away a number of years ago. I don't think I've ever left any kind of church service with a greater desire to seek after God than I did yesterday. That was such a holy atmosphere that was there. Brother Ron Gidrose, Brother Jabbo Green, Brother Tenney spoke, and a lot of the family spoke. A lot of beautiful singing. And just a shell. I would not have recognized him. If I hadn't known who he was, I could have stood at his casket for an hour and I would have not known, because they had to, he fell 2 weeks ago today at his favorite restaurant, Papa's, hit his head. They ultimately had to remove a large portion of his skull. And they asked the preachers to stand. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of preachers from all over the world. It was that one life. Some of you never even got to hear him preach. It was said that he may be the last preacher alive who was at the merger conference in 1945 when the United Pentecostal Church as an organization was formed. We hadn't verified that. Brother Chambers, one time superintendent's daughter, Sister Bentley, made that statement. And she's quite a historian. I don't know. But this man, I remember the night that we sat in the Surge Hall. How many of you men were in there that night when Brother Kilgore spoke to us? He just kind of opened and his heart and bled on us. You would have had to have known him and watched this entire movement, how it would respond to him. I've seen him stand up in business sessions that were tight, fraught, tensions were strong. Maybe he would raise his Bible and begin to sing, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." He always kept Jesus right in front of him. I'd like the children that are, say, from ages 3 to 10. Do we have many children in here that age? Would you come up here with me? If you're from ages 3 to 10, would you y'all just come up here? You come up here and I'll give you a piece of candy after church. I'd walk a mile for a Hershey's Kisses.
Amen. Y'all sit down. Just sit down here.
Hey, come on, Harrison. Saw your mom and daddy in Houston this week. Come on here. Hey, Gracie, come on. Hey, baby. Look at that. Look at that. I want to talk to y'all a minute. Can I hold you? Is that okay? Let me talk to you. Listen to Brother Mahoney, okay? Y'all look at me. You know what? I want you to know. Let me tell you what I want you to do. For the rest of your life, I want you to be hungry for God. You know how you get hungry when you're at school? And the longest period of time is the period of time between recess and lunch. It always was for me. It was just hard. And I made straight A's in lunch at school. But I know how it is to be. I thought I was hungry. But I want to tell you something. You remember this. I want you to always be hungry for Jesus. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 8. Is anybody up here 8? Any of you 8 yet? You're 5. Okay. You'll be there. You keep living if you live right. Live right. You're 7. How old are you? 6 and 6. How old are you? 3, right? Is that right? 3. Gracie, how old are you? 9. And Hope, 9. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 8. But I want to tell you something. And this may not make a lot of sense to you now. But I want you to love Jesus more than you love anything else in the world. That's very important. And I want all of y'all say amen. You know what that means? That's it. That means, preach it, brother, I'll foot the bill.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Let's give our children a hand. Y'all go back and be seated. Thank you, brother. Years ago in June, right in front of the present pulpit at the tabernacle, right there, 8-year-old boy, I met Jesus face to face. I have more days behind me than I do in front of me, but I will promise you, I will seek Him more diligently with the rest of my life than I did with the previous 58 years of my life. I promise you that. And I thank Brother Kilgore for that influence. Young people, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator. Seek Him early. Just because you're a teenager, you don't have to be a knothead. Just because you're a teenager, it's not demanded of you by God that you give your parents all kind of headache. And I know you know more than anybody else in the world. But you'll reach a day and you'll realize, you know what, them people that was trying to advise me, them people wasn't dumb. Young people, young couples, listen to folks that have walked before you. They may not be able to text as quickly as you, and they may not know a whole lot of things about the technology of the world. But you look real closely at this head. You see all them knots. I earned them. I'd like to spare you some of them. That's why I say the more you seek him, the more you'll find him. Matthew 6:33, you know what it says? You seek, God adds. Say this with me. If I will seek, God will add. Say it again. If I will seek, God will add. Say it again. If I will seek, God will add. Last Sunday, Brother Donnie Willis read Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I do not remember if he went any farther. I'd like to read verses 12 through 14. Jeremiah 29:12. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Brother Donnie, those four verses of Scripture must have been very important to my mother. She gave me this Bible 38 years ago. This was her Bible. And she had those verses circled. They must have been really important to her. Seek him. And he said, I will be found of you, and I will put you in a place where you will be blessed. Seek him early. So I asked myself a question yesterday. I had plenty of time to seek the Lord. Sister Mahoney did not go with me to Houston. And so it was quiet in the truck. And I asked myself this question. How can I cultivate a nature that continually seeks after God? I've heard a lot of folks say, well, that's just not my nature. It's just not my nature. I just think that's an excuse. I don't think we ought to use that. I don't. You know why? Number one, it was your nature to be a murderer and a thief and a rapist and a child molester. It was your nature to hate, to hurt, to hit people. It was your nature. You was born with that. Nobody had to teach you that. You was born with it. But you know what he did? He gave you a new heart. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. How do I cultivate a nature of continually seeking after God? And I prayed that. I didn't feel like I got an answer. And then came home, spent the afternoon at the house, and we did a little riding around, and Sister Mahoney made apple fritters. Praise God forever in the name of Jesus. Husbands, you should prevail on your wife to get her recipe. And so me and Reagan pasted the fritters. I went to bed early because I wanted to get up real early because I didn't really have the direction that I wanted fully. So I slept an hour or so and I woke up, and that request is still in my mind. How can I cultivate a nature that continually seeks after God? And so I was sitting in the living room. I had the fireplace on. I got my Bible and my notepad. And just like that, God gave me a verse of scripture. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39. And he went a little farther. He went a little farther. And I felt like God said, if you want to continually cultivate a nature of seeking after God, you're going to have to continually be willing to go a little farther. I am persuaded that we stop just short of attaining the things that God wants for us so much until we become accustomed to it. When really, by the time we cease our worship, our supplication, our prayer, our seeking, when we think it is concluded, actually, that is the beginning. I want, and my desire for this church is, let's make going a little farther a crowning part of the DNA of the Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church. Going a little farther. Let's make that part of our DNA. When we come to the front, which we normally do at the end of the service, probably about the time I say, God bless you, which is our normal way of dismissing, we're probably just getting to the place that we're ready to begin touching God. From now on, we will have less formal conclusions. If we're going to seek God, if we're going to cultivate a nature that will continually seek God, we're going to have to exercise ourselves into going a little farther. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto God with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Shall we stand?